In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today is a curious day. It is one that is labeled by our prayer book, the Sunday of the Passion, Palm Sunday. What this means is that one minute we are singing together, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And then just a couple minutes later, we are shouting, crucify him, crucify him. That juxtaposition is troubling to me. I see the need for it. You can't have resurrection without death. You can't have Easter without passion. But it's still hard to hear. Another thing that is hard for me to hear is what we see on page 2 of our bulletin in our collect of the day. We're asked to pray that crazy line that says, mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of Jesus' suffering. I don't know about you, but when I pray extemporaneously, when it comes to the part of the prayers where our own petitions are invited, I don't ask for suffering. I don't feel a particular need to seek out more suffering in my life. And yet, Lent is a time of lament. Lent is a time for us to engage our suffering. It is a time for us to abandon some of the advantages of the wealth and power that we enjoy, and to recognize our poverty, our powerlessness, our common neediness before God. During Lent, we lament the state of the world. We lament homelessness, poverty, racism. During Lent, we lament wars, threats of war, and atrocities committed in the name of peace. During Lent, we can lament the effects of aging, our frustrated ambitions, the bodies and minds that no longer function the way that we hoped they would. Some of our laments pertain to our inner selves, to those wounds that shape us, to those old hurts, those sadnesses that never seem to heal. So we have plenty of things to lament, and the season of Lent invites us to embrace those things, to bring them out, examine them, make them known, confess them before God. This morning we read the Passion of our Lord according to Mark. This is from chapters 14 and 15 of the Gospel of Mark. And there was something that was troubling to me as well as encouraging in this text. And because in here we find that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, laments. I swiped an advanced copy of this during the week. And I went at it with a highlighter, and I tried to highlight all the places where Jesus laments. And I highlighted nearly every place where Jesus spoke. We start right here with Jesus' first utterance on page 2, where he's talking about my body being prepared beforehand for its burial. We go to page 3, one of you will betray me. Page 4, you will all become deserters. And I am deeply grieved, even to death. And so it goes until Jesus falls silent for a while, just as his persecutors are around. And at the end, Jesus cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so in our reading today, Jesus begins contemplating his betrayal by life. He continues with his betrayal by his friends, and he ends with a perception, a sense of betrayal by God. Jesus knows what it is to be the victim of those who want to protect their own wealth and power. Jesus knows torture. Jesus knows political persecution and extraordinary rendition. He experienced the midnight transfer from his own nation's courts to other courts run by violent foreigners and occupiers. There were all kinds of power politics swirling around Jesus' death, and yet Jesus hands himself over. He's quiet, silent, like a lamb. He doesn't defend himself. Because in the end, Jesus is confident. For Jesus, victory is sure. Jesus' victory, he knows, will be unhindered, undelayed even, by his enemy's best efforts. There's a second thread that runs through our passion story. I used a different color highlighter. The thread of victory. Jesus speaks throughout about victory as well as lament. On the first page, after talking about his body being prepared for burial, he goes on to somehow imply that this burial will result in good news. And not just a little good news, but good news that we proclaim throughout the entire world. On the next page, Jesus talks about the imminence of the kingdom of God. He says, I will not drink this wine again until I drink it new in the kingdom of God. It will be here soon. Then he says, talks about after I am raised up, the scriptures being fulfilled. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus is silent for a while. And then we have that utterance from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even those last words are not just a cry of lament, but they are also the first words, the first line of Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is one of the Psalms of lament. It is very descriptive. It gives this visceral description that really rings true, talking about the crucifixion. But like many of the Psalms of lament, if you read Psalm 22 to the end, you'll find that it acknowledges a final, unambiguous, and universal victory of God. And so this morning's collect, the petition begins by asking that we may walk in the way of Jesus' suffering, to the end that we may likewise experience Jesus' resurrection, a victory that is so complete that not even death can change it. I guess that if suffering is going to be a non-negotiable fact of life, then the way that I suffer, I hope, will be the way that Jesus suffered. Because Jesus' way of suffering is the one that led unerringly to God's victory. Jesus' way of suffering leads without fail to that day when all lament will cease, and when the final word will be not crucify, but Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.